Welcome to a land of magical ales. Welcome to a universe of booze galore. Welcome to a world of capes and cocktails. Welcome to liquor and lore.
That is Nymeria Star, burning bright, and that milky band behind her. Those are 10,000 ships. She burned as bright as any man, and so shall I. Arian Martell, a Feast of Crows.
Badass.
She's badass.
Yeah. Nymeria, I mean, we're going to find out in this story how badass Nymeria is, so it makes sense that she's picking.
Well, yeah, and it's fitting for Arian. I mean, yeah. She kills it in that book. Like, she's a badass person in Dorne who's trying to get her shit done.
Yeah.
Arian, you're in first name, you're on that basis with
yeah,
her?
We're that close. I might propose to her.
I mean, she's going to probably be queen one day. She might be queen one day.
I could be king.
Yeah. Also, Nymeria is the name of Arya's wolf, which is also based off of Nymeria.
Oh, yeah.
Of the 10,000.
Arya was kind of knew that story, right?
And then, yeah, she loves her heroines.
Well, on the show, that's like kind of what she becomes when she takes off to wherever the sun, wherever.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even think about that.
She becomes Nymeria in a way where she's just this badass girl who's in control of a ship and going off to explore.
Makes perfect sense.
Yeah. That's cool.
But yeah. Gather Round, episode 2.
Hello.
Liquor and Lore.
Woo-woo.
We made it to episode 2.
Yeah,
we did it.
That's
yeah.
What a feat.
Can't believe we did it.
How proud should we be?
Yeah, I don't know.
So after episode 1
yeah.
and how much I drank, I'm surprised I want to do episode 2
right?
because I felt like shit the next day.
I'm already feeling like shit for tomorrow. But for everybody who listened to episode 1 and gave us some feedback, it's very much appreciated. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
We are your hosts. I'm Sam.
I'm Chad.
I still don't know if I want to say my name.
Your name's in the first episode.
Is it?
Yeah. It's out there.
I think I need to wait a couple episodes to see how this goes.
All right,
I want my name attached to this. I don't know if this is going to be any good.
Can I just keep saying Barty?
Yeah, that's fine.
That works. We'll call you Barty.
People ever try to figure it out, they literally just have to listen to the first episode.
Like, yeah. No, yeah, that's right.
All right, it's a secret now.
Yeah.
All right, Barty.
Kind of. Barty.
Barty.
No one's going to figure that
no
out.
No one's ever going to figure it out.
Oh, you can just call me Marty, I guess.
Jesus, that was quick.
It's on the episode now.
Good lord.
Okay, yeah. I'm Marty.
We'll figure it out.
Co-host number 3.
Well, before we get into the actual episode, we have some questions to answer from the last episode.
People wrote in questions?
Yeah, no, we had questions ourselves in the last episode.
Oh, okay.
So, to go over some of them, we were talking about Metropolis and Gotham and where they are in the United States. Metropolis is in Delaware, and Gotham is in New Jersey. I think it's supposed to be Jersey City.
Whoa!
Yeah, but Gotham is based a lot off of New York City.
Okay.
And there's an actual Metropolis in Illinois.
Yeah, I knew that. I would not have placed either of those in those spots.
Right? And the Delaware Bay, like when you see Batman vs. Superman in the movie, that's supposed to be like Delaware Bay, but I think it's called like Gotham Bay or something like that.
Okay.
Yeah. But also, in some comic books, they change the location of where these are located. But that's like the most like canonical location.
Wow. What a fun fact for a podcast.
Right? Can't believe we found that out.
Wow.
Our next question that we had to answer, a cornucopia is indeed a basket.
Yeah. Okay.
It's also seen in Greek mythology, and it's a symbol of abundance.
Oh.
So,
Did you figure out why?
Yeah, why?
No.
It's not a great basket.
Didn't find out why it was a basket. Apparently, in like fourth grade textbooks, like cornucopias are just known as baskets.
I remember
but
learning
nobody,
about cornucopias.
Yeah, I don't know why they look the way they do. I don't know if it's the way they carry them. I didn't look that deep into it.
Seems like a shitty design. That's
yeah.
I have no.
That's been easy to, or just to make them that.
It
way.
Might be.
Yeah,
I mean if you're already doing that, I feel like a square basket is not that.
Fucking
much
pilgrims, man. I don't know. They don't
I don't
know what they're doing. But And then the next one, Jimmy Two Times, which I actually texted this to you guys, comes from Goodfellas, when they're going through all the names, and it comes to Jimmy Two Times. And it is indeed because he does say everything twice.
Okay.
So we kind of nailed that. And then someone wanted me to tell you, Chad. Sierra wanted me to tell you that you look like Kiefer Sutherland. Because we were talking about what you
look
like.
I look like Kiefer
no
Sutherland.
Way.
When you had long hair, you look like Kiefer Sutherland.
Wait, I thought Kiefer Sutherland had Kiefer Sutherland had a shaved head.
From 24, he does not have long hair.
What is Sierra watching?
I'm just giving you the message.
I disagree with it. Like, he's... no, I don't want to look like him. I say
would you
no
rather look more like a Chad?
No! Well, what if he looks like a Chad? I don't
that's
know.
True. I don't know. Does he look like a Chad?
No, not really.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I don't see it.
Yeah.
Chad doesn't look like... I take back what I said. Chad doesn't look like Roland Shit, everybody. I'm just saying
I did dress up as Roland Shit for Halloween.
Your costume was really good,
though. Yeah, and it worked really well, so that was a little unnerving.
Yeah. And then finally, our last question we wanted to answer is, do people have sex in space? Now, I got real deep into this one.
Yeah.
So NASA...
Can I reject for a second?
Absolutely.
Between this episode and the next one, I did watch the first episode of The Expanse.
Oh,
I
nice.
Didn't see that zero gravity sex scene.
Yeah.
But I'm watching it, and it still didn't make... The physics of it didn't make sense to me. I don't understand.
So, funny... It's funny that you say work. That you watched the first episode, because I just started re-watching The Expanse.
Uh-huh.
And when you watch it, they're not really moving.
They're just kind of, like, floating there together.
And they're, like, acting like they're having fun, but nothing's really happening. They're just kind of in each other.
I still don't know. If you're having sex in zero gravity, I don't see how that working. Because if one person pushes, they're just going to keep...
But you'd have to use each other.
But I'm saying it's not a push.
You know?
Yeah, it's a push and pull.
Yeah.
But if one person pushes, then they're just going to keep going in that direction.
No, but you could. But I'm saying, but you would be using them as you would you could do that, and they could also use your. You know what I'm saying? I could grab legs and push myself in, and
if it's mutual pushing and pulling, you're not going to have one force that's greater than the other force that's pushing one person away.
I feel like one person is going to have just enough more force than the other that's going to cause the net force to push the two bodies.
Wow, you are
I just feel like you would kind of feel it out as you were going. Like, if you're flying towards the door or a wall, you could be like, oh, shit, you got to do a little bit of work.
So while we're talking about it, so the thing that I learned about sex in space is it's probably going to happen someday because... They've already talked about, I think since Elon Musk put, it's a private company actually went to space.
Mm-hmm.
They've already talked about having people paying for trips into space. So people are definitely going to take a trip into space.
Yeah, people
are
doing that shit for the Mile High Club on planes.
Exactly.
They are absolutely going to do it in space.
Exactly. Now the question if it's ever happened already. I got this is from a Vice article and it talked about Russian space program and the U.S. space program, and NASA is very hush-hush and does not like to talk about anything sexual. So American. I'm not going to talk about sex. So they don't talk about masturbation or sex at all, whereas the Russians, we're completely cool about talking about it.
So, honestly, they need to have a press conference that is specific to masturbation and then sex.
I mean, we
want
to know.
Give the people what they want.
But so the thing that what's being told is that the consensus is that sex has never happened in space. And the reasoning behind a lot of why they think it hasn't, because if someone had sex in space, they'd probably talk about it. That's their main thing. Because,
if I was the first person to have sex in space,
you'd
tell
be scared
everyone.
To? What's the worst thing you think could happen?
That's the thing. It's not... You're not, while... So, apparently the space stations, they don't necessarily prohibit relationships, but they, don't really want you to have a relationship because it can mess with the missions itself because, relationships can create... And I'm going to go into one of those relationships in a second. But they kind of don't want that to happen. So in space, this guy... But masturbation definitely happens. That 100% definitely
happens. That's what I was going to ask because they're zero gravity mess up that? I would be scared to do it, honestly.
So they said... So this guy, Michael Mullane... said that he has been on space missions and then he would sometimes have quote a boner that could have drilled through kryptonite.
That's what he said?
Yeah. And there was I can't remember her name, but there was a scientist that said she's there's no way that your body wouldn't function the same way that it would.
I'll be worried that once I finished I wouldn't be able to stop finishing. It would just keep
You think it's one stream?
It wouldn't stop.
You have to stop yourself on Earth?
Are you saying it would just continue out
a
line?
Wouldn't end. It would never
kinda
end.
Like
a loogie?
Or like Spider-Man when he shoots his web?
Yeah, but just forever.
Yeah. Well,
until and then I would just
I
die.
Mean, they definitely do it, and when we're asking where they put it, they just shoot it into space, and it becomes a little
what?
Sperm
oh
crystal.
My god. God, I
no.
would love
are
my
they,
sperm to be shot into space.
Yeah.
Are they doing it in the toilet?
They're
or
doing,
they,
the toilet itself sends everything into space.
Yeah.
So everything you shit, pee, cum.
Wow.
No, I thought they recycle. I thought they recycle.
Nope,
they
shoot that shit into space.
The urine? I'm pretty sure they recycle the urine.
From what this was talking about, they shoot it into space. I don't know. Maybe there's a different way they do it in each space station. Maybe Russia shoots it into space. Maybe the U.S. recycles it.
So there's a bunch of poop in space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah. And there's also just little shards of cum just in space right now.
You ever wonder, maybe there's other life on different planets, and getting impregnated sooner or later, like, one of our little poops, like, builds up enough speed to really just rock down onto their planet, and they're like, oh my god, what could this be? What is this space rock?
What if...
It's a human shit.
What if mushrooms are just alien poop?
I can see that, yeah.
There's already a theory that mushrooms come from space, so, like, it wouldn't
maybe, be cool. Maybe life on Earth is just from alien sperm.
That'd be fine. But then, so, with masturbating, this guy, Valery Polyakov, he wrote in his diary that the psychological support service sent up some nice colorful movies to help kind of, you know, do the thing. And then there was even, his superiors even, like, encouraged him taking a sex doll with him up in space. Which he said no because he didn't want to, I can't remember what it's called.
Creep the other people out?
No, he didn't want to have doll dependency or something like that, where what happens is that when you're with the sex doll, you like the sex doll so much that you don't want to be with, like, an actual human being.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
He's worried his dick wasn't going to work with a real girl?
He was just worried that he would only want to have sex with a doll and not a real person when he came back. Yeah, so he said no to the sex doll.
What's his name?
Valery Polyakov.
That is a Russian fucking name.
Moving on. We're going to move on to some news.
Yep.
News. Mandalorian debut last week.
Great episode.
I haven't watched it yet.
You haven't watched it? I watched the first episode. I haven't watched the second one.
It was a fun one. It was like a nice little surprise from the original.
Oh, there's a great surprise.
Trilogy that is cool.
Yeah. Okay. Unfortunately, Sean Connery died.
Yeah, he did.
The original 007, Henry Jones from Indiana Jones. And then finally, Johnny Depp is being kicked off of the next Fantastic Beasts movie.
Why?
Oh, man. So, he was accused by Amber Heard of domestic abuse.
Yes, yes.
And then it turned out that he didn't actually do anything, and that she also kind of, like...
He claimed he didn't do anything,
and then there's a thing of her actually abusing him, and then he sued a news agency for defamation, and he lost, and Time Warner was like, that's kind of weird, we're gonna go ahead and just fire you.
They don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah. Right, they were just like, don't really know,
I
haven't seen the second one. I like the first one.
You're not missing
anything.
I never saw the
second one.
Really,
did you like the first one, though? The first one was pretty good, right?
It was fun.
Yeah, I thought it was good, too. Okay. But the second one is a dumpster fire. It's not good.
Not a whole lot else going on, except for Biden won the presidency today.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Small little thing.
Biden won the presidency today, which we are all very happy
Yeah,
about.
We're pleased about it. So
we don't want to get political on this podcast, but we are going to go ahead and say that we are very excited that Biden is going to be the next president.
Yeah, and I'm all for it. Quick cheers to...
Yeah, cheers
here.
President Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris.
Absolutely.
Sorry, Maddie, I missed you.
So what do we do next?
Well, now?
What
are we drinking tonight?
We've done introductions.
We're doing drinks now.
We did news.
Yeah.
No drinks.
We're drinking Sazerac.
So good.
Sazerac?
Sam, you did such an amazing job. This is, like, seriously one of the best cocktails I've ever had.
I've never had a Sazerac, and I want three more. Like, I finished mine before the podcast started.
I just finished mine right this second.
It was too good.
I'm glad you guys liked it. It was also my first Sazerac today as well, which I was very excited to try this drink because a friend of ours, another Chad, I'm pretty sure it's his favorite cocktail. And,
wait, what?
You know another Chad?
Yeah, Haley's Chad.
Oh, Haley's Chad.
Yeah. Do you like him more? I'm just
fucking with it. Right, we're on a podcast. You can't just ask me that kind of question. But he's talked about a Sazerac before being, like, pretty good, and this was honestly, it was very good.
It was amazing.
For sure.
It was really good.
You can make it in two different ways, so you would either use 2 ounces of rye whiskey or 2 ounces of cognac. A splash of absinthe, about 3 dashes of Pequod's bitters. I don't know how you say that word.
Pequod.
Is that what it is?
Yes.
Okay, Pequod bitters. Marty doesn't actually know. And then garnish, and then stir that up with ice, strain, and then garnish with a lemon.
It's so good, and I've had it with the Sazerac, I've had it with the rye whiskey before.
Yeah.
And it is so much better with the cognac.
It's just nice and sweet.
Cognac.
We should have posted on the Instagram before this episode comes out.
Oh, yeah.
I highly suggest trying this.
Yeah, please make this drink and then we'll...
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah.
And I'm also drinking, I want to shout it out. Marty, you have this last time we did a podcast, and it's a Civil Life American Brown Ale, and I am in love with this beer right now.
It's so good.
It's so good.
Yeah, Civil Life American Brown is amazing. For those of you listening, you can only get it if you live in St. Louis. I don't think they distribute it anywhere else.
Yeah, so if you don't live in St. Louis,
tough luck.
Tough luck.
Do better.
Do better.
Yeah, do better.
Yeah.
Just come here.
But before we start with the actual content for the episode, we're going to take a quick break.
Take a little break. I got a pee-pee.
Let's have another Sazerac.
Oh, yeah. Sazerac. Let's do that. Yeah.
All right.
This episode brought to you by 25 Cent Turtles. They not only cost a quarter, they're the size of one, too. We'll freeze them up and send them right over. Once they arrive, thaw them out, and you've got your very own Roynish pet. 25 Cent Turtles. Small and affordable.
So, Sam, what are we talking about today?
So today we're going to be talking about the Roynar, Nymeria, and her 10,000 ships.
The fuck is that?
Oh, you're about to find out.
Okay.
Nymeria, it's Game of Thrones.
Yes, this is a story of the world of ice, around the world of ice and fire. We're dealing with the Valyrians, aka the biggest dickheads in all of Westeros and Essos.
Huge assholes.
Oh, huge assholes. And this story is both heartbreaking, heartwarming. We're covering a lot of ground here.
Okay.
Before we actually get into the actual story itself, we need to see what the state of the world is right now. So the state of the world is we have the freehold of the Valyria and the Valyrians. The Valyrians are dragon lords. They live in the fort. They live in the freehold of Valyria, which is in volcanoes right across from Old Geese. They're sorcerers. They're dragon lords. They're kind of running train on the world right now. They just defeated... Yeah, they're destroying people. They just defeated the Giskari Empire, which they absolutely slaughtered after like 500 years of war.
Do you know why? Like, what was their issue?
They were right across the bay. So, okay. Like, geographically, the Freehold is right here, and then right across the bay, Old Geese is right there.
Gotcha.
And I think they just didn't like each other. Oh. Like, if you... Like,
shit happens.
Yeah, it's very... The history is kind of repeating itself with Daenerys in... Meereen right now. Meereen is where Old Geese was originally, and she's a Targaryen, and they kind of hate them just because of that whole situation. Yeah, so they just kind of didn't like each other, so the Valyrians just massacred them, and like there is no such thing as Geese anymore. Now you have like the Slaver's Bay.
So could you explain quickly like the relationship with Targaryens and the Valyrians?
Yes, so the Valyrians are the ancestors of the Targaryens. So... the Valyrians themselves were like, it was a ton of families. They were all dragon lords. Their politics was everyone who had land had a say, which was a good thing and a bad thing because everyone kind of battled back and forth because everyone not only had different politics, they had different religions, but religion wasn't a big thing in Valyria. So eventually people went to their own places and the Targaryens, they founded Dragonstone and that's where they ended up when the Doom happened.
You know, it's kind of an interesting point that I've never thought of. We never hear Dany in, like, the Song of Ice and Fire series talk about religion or anything
no.
like that.
No, she doesn't really have gods that she follows.
Right, or
yeah.
even Fire and Blood. Like, it doesn't talk yeah. about anything until the Targaryens convert to the Seven.
For sure. And when they do convert to the Seven, it's not even for religious purposes.
Right,
it's
for
mainly
political.
Yes, it's mainly just to bring the country together. So, and you see that throughout. I think Baelor the Blessed is really the only one that takes the Seven seriously out of all
yeah.
the Targaryen kings. So, like I said, so the Valyrians right now, they're just creating cities and outposts all up the east coast of Essos. They basically own Essos at this point. And then we have the Roynar, who we are going to get into mostly today. The Roynar were a peaceful people. They lived on the Royn, or the Mother Royn, which is a massive river that goes from kind of like the southern part of Essos, I think all the way up to the Bravosi coastline, which is like way up north of the top of Essos. So I think that would be like the Erie in Westeros.
Okay.
Geographically, like equal.
The Roynar, I thought we were in Essos.
No, like saying like the river goes up north enough that it's like in line with.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, I didn't explain that very well. They were slender, olive skin, black hair, olive skin. I have olive skin. You have olive skin.
I have olive skin?
Yeah.
Does Chad have olive skin?
No, you got pale skin.
So olive skin is like...
It's like an off-white.
an off-white.
Yeah. I'm kind of an off-white.
My dad has olive skin, I've been told.
As white as they get, boy.
Okay.
I feel like Kiefer Sutherland over here.
I feel like he's kind of tan. Anyway.
They're known for being fishers. They're known for their art and music. But they're also rumored to be the first that worked with iron. So we see this with the armor that they actually wear. This is probably the coolest part about the Rhoynar, in my opinion. When they go to war, they wear silver scaled armor, a fish helm, they use a tall spear, and a turtle shell shield.
Ooh. I think the worst thing that has happened to modern civilization is the lack of cool fucking armor.
Right.
That is not worn anymore.
Yeah.
That could be
yeah.
fucking awesome if the United States Army had like fucking had fish scale armor. Like turtle yeah. shit. Like at least you have something to.
Now it's just.
Now it's just camo. Like you can't even yeah. see them.
Can you imagine? Because that armor is like heavy as fuck.
Yeah.
Like the actual medieval armor. Can you just imagine like modern day like like soldiers in Iraq are walking in just huge plated armor?
Pretty It'd badass. Be much cooler.
Yeah. I mean, I would prefer it. The gods that they believe in, which this is the one of the more interesting things, is the river itself is their god, the Mother Rhoynar. Like, it's their home, it's their mother, it, like, provides for them, you know, they go fishing in there, and then they, you know, the river would, like, warn them of invaders, and then the waters themselves would actually protect them from people who would come in.
I've always thought there was something beautiful about having your god be a river or a natural thing around you, like, something right. that provides for you, that makes sense yeah. that you would kind of worship yeah. that thing that gives you
I can
life.
Get down with that more than just yeah. believing in like just in a like a thing
right
like, yeah
right. It makes more sense because this thing is keeping your civilization alive like yeah. you should have massive respect for that
for
thing.
Sure
yeah, so I really
like if
like
there
that,
was like no fish in the river like that would be like oh man God's pissed right
yeah
they're mad as hell and then there's a bunch of fish it's like oh they're having a good day like I so yeah I completely get that. And they have, so the river themselves also has the old man of the river, which are these giant turtles that swim up and down the river all the time. And they're kind of known as the Mother Rhoynar's children. So they are extremely sacred to the Rhoynar. Like, you do not fuck with the giant turtles in the river. Because that is basically fucking with your god's children.
General rule of thumb.
Yeah. Just don't fuck with turtles,
just don't
period.
Fuck with turtles.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're
innocent. What they do, they're great.
They're great.
Exactly.
That's why those fucking birds, like, I know it's a circle of life, but those little baby turtles that try to make it to the ocean?
Oh my god, I hate those videos. They're terrible.
The Rhoynar would hate those bitches.
They would not be fun.
Nope.
They'd be like the dragons.
Yeah, they'd be really pissed.
Yeah.
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 Oh, fuck, it basically is that. Okay. And then they also have the god that they're kind of fighting against, the Crab King. Which, okay, so the Crab King... He's always at war with the old man of the river.
Wait, the turtles are fighting the crabs?
The Crab King.
Okay.
Does he have crab minions?
I don't know. I really looked so hard to find anything on the Crab King. There is fucking nothing about the Crab King. The only thing I found is some dude on Reddit who created an entire theory about crabs and Game of Thrones.
Oh, man, yeah.
Yeah, we talked about this, I think, a couple weeks ago.
We read about that. Yeah, we talked about it. Yeah, that's amazing.
And he just connected all these dots of crabs and how crabs are a thing, but there was no final part to
throughout
the theory.
The entirety of Game of Thrones.
You didn't read close enough. What would you call that? What did he write up?
A theory.
A thesis?
I guess a thesis.
Yes.
Yeah, because there was an actual, I don't know. But the Crab King, I couldn't find shit on the Crab King, which is kind of disappointing,
damn.
But...
Well, we might see more from him in The Winds of Winter.
Maybe.
When did George R. R. Martin write this book?
He didn't actually write that book. That's written by two different people, but he was like, he helped them write that book.
Hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, we're getting all our information from The Lord of Ice and Fire.
Yes.
I probably should have said that in the beginning. It's a great book.
I'm just thinking, like, do you think whoever wrote this book read that Reddit post and they decided I'm just gonna throw the crap.
No. Everything that is in that book is from George's mind, so he had the Crab King in mind.
Crazy.
He might show up later. I mean, crabs. Fuck.
He's not gonna show up later. We're not gonna see
but,
a fucking
crabs
crab
do,
king.
But crabs do are mentioned a lot with like the Iron Islands, and the Iron Islands actually mention Nymeria a lot themselves because they're both seafarers and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
So there might be a connection. A lot of people think that Daenerys is going to be very similar to Nymeria in the sense that she's going to be taking, like, Victarions coming
ships,
down with
yeah.
the ships, and that it's going to be kind of that. So There are like
so
mentions
Daenerys,
of crabs.
Daenerys is the crab queen.
No, she would be Nymeria, so if anything, she'd be a turtle.
Mm. Oh.
Mm.
It's a... We're going to keep going.
So, the Roine has these turtle-worshipping,
yeah.
olive-skinned...
Yep. Artsy, silver-scaled arm-making, yes. Yeah.
They defeated the Crab King centuries ago.
So, the Crab King is just a god. So, think of it as, like, it's God versus the devil, and, like, the crab would be, like, the devil, and God is, like, the turtle.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Shitty way to view crabs.
Well, look.
I don't know why you're into this fucking Crab King. You can't stop talking about him.
I'm only into this Crab King because of you two, okay?
Anyway, alright, so.
Anyway, so we have the Roinar. So, going away from their gods, they have cities all up and down the river. All of these cities are completely independent to themselves. They're not fighting each other, but they all have their own rules. They all have their own laws. In all of them, men and women are equal. That is one thing that is not, I don't have to think happens anywhere else in the world at this time. And then there's a bunch of cities going up and down the river, but we're only going to talk about two of them. Sarmel, which is the southernmost city of the Roine, kind of sits very close to the mouth of the Roine in the south. And then Croyane, which I always thought was Shroyane, but I think it's Croyane, the festival city. It's the greatest city in all of the Roine. They have the Great Palace of Love. In yeah. Croyane.
Sexy.
Yeah.
Okay, what goes on there?
Probably
sexy.
Sex.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Sexy stuff.
But nowadays it's known as the Palace of Sorrow, which we'll find out eventually. Tyrion actually talks about Croyane in the books. He says, "There was laughter here once. There were gardens bright with flowers and fountains sparkling golden in the sun."
Is that when he's going down the Roine?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Sorry, I didn't mean
that. "Those steps once rang to the sound of lovers' footsteps, and beneath that broken dome, marriages beyond count were sealed with a kiss."
Oh.
So it was a really nice place.
Nice.
I guess that's a really cool connection if you have read the books to realize that of this is kind of taking place in what Tyrion is going through when he's going down the Roine.
I mean, everything you learn about the Roine in the books pretty much comes from Tyrion.
Yeah.
Because he's the only one... So I was listening to the History of Westeros podcast the other day, preparing for this episode, and he talks about how like Tyrion is, his chapters are always interesting because he reads so much about history that you get a lot of history in his chapters.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas the other characters aren't as involved in books and reading, you don't get as much history, whereas he's always thinking about that kind of stuff. And I never thought about that.
I've never made that connection. Yeah. That's a really good way
and
for a writer
sense.
To get the history in there is by having a character be into history.
Exactly. And in the chapter that Tyrion is in the Roine, like that's all he's talking about, the Roine. So, yeah, pretty cool. So we have what the Roine are, and then what happens is eventually the Valyrians arrive. Now, when the Valyrians first arrive, they are welcome to the Roine. Like, the priest and priestess of the Roine are just like, yeah, come on in, like, share the bounty of the Mother Roine. They're a peaceful people. They're not trying to fight people. That is not their deal. But the Valyrians, as we know, are fucking dickheads. And they pretty much come in, they kick their shoes off, they put their feet on the table, they light a cigarette in your living room,
Aaron,
they put the cigarette out in the couch. No, oh, they're doing that.
Oh,
they're going into your kitchen, just doing whatever the fuck they want. But what I'm trying to say, they set up a bunch of outposts that turn into cities. And they kind of start taking advantage of the river, and they start taking advantage. And over the course of a couple hundred years, the Roine start getting very disgruntled, and they start not wanting the Valyrians around.
Okay.
So what happens is, like anything else in history when this stuff happens, war happens. So the beginning of the war starts with Sarmel, like we talked about before, the southernmost city. Is directly across from a outpost called Volantheris, and this is a Valyrian outpost. They were never fans of each other. They were right across the street. It's very similar to how the Giscari and the Valyrians just didn't like each other because they were just right across the street.
Just there.
Yeah. And like we said, Valyrians suck. They're just not nice people. I mean, they're slavers. Like, you're not gonna be good people when you're slavers.
They live in a volcano. You can't, like, you're gonna be a cranky person.
Exactly. You're gonna have a fiery personality.
Oh!
They live in a volcano?
They live within volcanoes. Not like in a volcano. There's like, it's called the 14 Flames, and it's just pretty much a peninsula of just a ton of volcanoes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
Yeah. And that's where they discovered dragons in the first place. We're like inside the like caves of these volcanoes.
Okay, that makes sense.
So what happens is the first Turtle War, and the way that it starts, just wait until you hear the name of these other wars. But the first Turtle War happens when the Valyrians decide to net and butcher one of the giant turtles.
Oh my god.
The one thing you don't do on the Roin. And they did it. So they net and they butcher this turtle. And of course, immediately, the Roinar, who are already pretty fed up with the Valyrians at this point, are just like, fuck it, we're fighting them. And the first Turtle War begins. Sarmel is victorious to, like, I mean, everyone gets pretty beat up, and they do somehow beat dragons by the help of water wizards.
Oh!
Yes, the Roinar have water wizards.
Why don't we see water wizards in Game of Thrones? That sounds pretty cool.
Well, okay, so anytime there's really magic mentioned in the history of Game of Thrones, a lot of it is talked about as maybe not being real.
Oh.
I do think this is real just because the Roinar here beat a dragon colony. They would have needed something. Yeah. And so the water wizards, like, they took out whatever dragons were around, and then they drowned Volyn Theris. And that's how the first Turtle War began. And that's how 2.5 centuries of war began against the Roinar and the Valyrians.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's a real good thing dragons don't actually exist.
Oh my god.
We'd be fucked.
Yeah. Especially, like, I mean, they're basically nuclear warheads.
Right.
Yeah. But, like, medieval.
Unless we controlled them, then I guess we'd be fine with it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we had the amount of dragons that we do nuclear warheads, it'd be pretty
the
okay.
world would be a hectic be a place.
Weird fucking place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you imagine, like, I'm just picturing, like, dragons, like, with different country flags hanging off of them.
We would make it gaudy as fuck.
But, so this 2.5 centuries of war contains a bunch of little wars within it. Some of the names of them, we have the War of the Three Princes, the Second Turtle War, the Fisherman's War, the Salt War, the Third Turtle War, the War on Dagger Lake, the Spice War, and there are even more of them.
They've got to do better. Yeah. That sounds like the lamest wars that you could ever be a part of.
The Spice War?
Oh, man.
Spice War, that's actually kind of cool.
Who wrote this book? Who wrote these wars?
Okay, everything in the book is from George R. R. Martin's mind. I don't know who actually wrote the book itself.
Wait, those wars, do you think George R. R. Martin was like, oh shit, I made so much money on Game of Thrones, let me just pull all these wars out of my ass. And he just wrote a list of wars down?
I don't know.
How much thought do you think he really put into those
wars? He's a very meticulous writer. I really think that he probably thought of every single detail. Because, if you read those, just the books themselves, like, they are so interconnected and complex that I would find it very hard to believe that he was just like, I'm just going to think of some words real quick. So eventually, the Roinar just are fed up. And this guy, Prince Garen of Croyane, the festival city, comes together. He's like, look, we got to just, like, come together and fight these guys. And everyone's, like, into it. Because their people are getting massacred and enslaved right now. But there's one person who says that they shouldn't fight.
Who?
Because they have no chance.
Who?
Nymeria of Nyssa.
Okay.
Nymeria comes out and she's like, we're not going to win. They've got dragons. There's no way this is happening.
Wait, I thought Nymeria was a dragon lady.
No. She's from the Roin.
What?
Daenerys is Valyrian.
Yeah.
Nymeria is Roinar.
Wow, I had no clue. I thought Nymeria was the one that rode dragons across the sea.
No.
What do you think the 10,000 ships were for?
Good point.
But, so she's like, we are not going to win, but unfortunately everyone is so bloodthirsty for everyone who's been killed that they're like, no, we're going to war. So the biggest army ever seen in Essos comes together, 250,000 men, a.k.a. every fucking chicken, shows up to fight in this war.
Chicken?
Why are chickens in the
table? Every fucking chicken.
It's a Game of Thrones thing.
Yeah.
When the Hound's in the bar, he says, give me every chicken, chicken in this.
He's like, if you don't shut your cunt mouth, I'm going to have to eat every fucking chicken in this place.
Are we saying that kind of stuff on here?
It's a quote.
This isn't PG.
I'll bleep it out.
You dirty cunt.
Oh my god. Sorry. This is supposed to be a wholesome podcast.
Hey, I was saying a quote.
He's Australian. I don't know. I thought you could call Australians.
Look, whatever. It's the second episode. No one's.
It's fine. You can say that word. I don't care.
Yeah.
As long as you're using it in that.
Should we all just say it? No. I'm just kidding.
Like, the fact. Never mind. I'm just going to move on.
Anyway, so every
chicken.
So every fucking chicken shows up in this army for the ruin. Okay. And the water wizard, they're like kicking ass. The water wizards are beating up on dragons. They've got people coming on the land. They've got galleys coming down in the river itself, and they are running down city after city after city until they come back to Valen Theris, the one that was right across from Sarmel. And then in this, 100,000 men, 100 water elephants, and 3 dragon lords fighting this massive
water army. Elephants?
Yes. So the water elephants are on the Valyrian side.
So what are they?
Just elephants that go in the water.
Okay. They're not swimming. Just elephants.
They're just elephants.
Can we just call them elephants?
Well, in that it says water elephants, so I thought it'd be important to have in there.
Huh, cool.
Yeah. Don't get on me about semantics, okay?
I really feel like the semantics there were really important.
Okay. I'm getting really fixated on the crabs, I think, and crab the king. Elephants. And
oh,
I think
we are so elephant. Done with the crab.
I think maybe there. I need to stop fixating on...
Don't think about the crab.
The zoology of Ice World of Ice.
I think you should fixate on something that they're calling water elephants.
Okay. So, okay, fine. Fine. The Rhoynar have an army of 250,000 men, and they come up on Valen Theris that has 100,000 men, 100 elephants, and 3 dragon lords.
Okay.
Yes. So they go and fight each other, and the water wizards are firing water spouts at dragons just like waterbenders. 2 dragons are taken down by archers, and the last dragon pisses off because he's like, well, this is looking really bad. And okay. Valen Theris gets fucking flooded. Like, the Mother Rhoyn comes up and floods the entire thing. And the Rhoynar are thinking that they've won. Like, they think that this is over and done with. They've pretty much taken down every city and outpost that Valyria has at this point. And they're about to go to Volantis, which is at the very end of the mouth of the Rhoyn. So they think that they're about to win this shit. But what they forget is that there is an entire freehold of dragons left behind that are going to come and get them. And we're going to get into that right after a break.
Oh, all right. Nice.
Winter is coming, so why not come down to the sandy beaches of Dorne? Avoid the winter snows and White Walkers and enjoy the sun and some Dornish red. Dorne, it's not all about snakes and poison. So before we get back into what's going on with the Rhoynar, we wanted to take a second to tell you about this new whiskey that we've discovered.
I can't believe you got your hands on this.
It kind of blows my mind too.
I've heard about this for a while and I've wanted to try it.
Yeah. And the bottle itself, it's very decadent. It looks like a very old whiskey. I really do think a lot of people would be jealous of
it. I would prefer that more bars would carry this shit.
Yeah.
Because it is good.
They make mad money of it.
What's it called?
Jameson. Irish whiskey.
It sounds classy.
Yeah. It does sound classy.
Yeah.
Irish.
I think this is something that I could drink on a night where I'm smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
Like, I want to feel...
It looks that way.
Feel like a rich motherfucker.
Yeah, I want to feel like a rich Irish man with a cigar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe have a nice dog next to me.
Let's take a little whiff. It
smells amazing, actually.
Beautiful.
Oh my gosh.
Just makes my mouth water.
All right, well, you know what? Let's quit wasting time.
Absolutely.
Let's just do this. Tears
some space in my stomach.
Cheers. Cheers.
Cheers.
Charles Darwin.
Oh, yeah. That's amazing. My God.
Wow.
It goes really well with the drink, like you were saying earlier.
It does. Something about the Sazerac makes this taste
better.
With
the Irish whiskey. Yes. It's just all beautiful.
Yeah.
Look, Jameson.
Certainly did not kick my ass.
Go get some Jameson. For the third episode, just have it ready for you. It's so good.
Yeah, I think we're going to have it next time again, right?
Absolutely.
We'll see. It seems like a rare find.
Yeah, that's true. If I can find it, but... It's not, but it wasn't that... Yeah, we'll get it. We'll get it.
Speaking of rare finds, dragons.
Dragons.
Turtles. All rare shit.
We've got dragons. We've got turtles. We've got crab kings. We've got scale-fished armor people.
There's a lot going on.
A lot of shit going on.
And everybody's wondering, how do the turtles come out of this war?
Oh, my God. Well, we're gonna find out.
I know.
Yeah. So, what we have seen is we've seen 200 years of incredibly bloody... war. We've got slaves. We've got dead people. We've got burned cities. We've got drowned cities. The Rhoynar right now are like, they're on the up and up. They think they've won this shit at this point. They're very cocky. Like we were saying before we went on a break, the Freehold has way more than 3 dragons. So they go to the, so the Valyrians retreat to Volantis, which is the outpost at the very bottom at the mouth of the Rhoyne, and they call up the Freehold and they're like, hey, bring in, you know, Jerry, Bobby, Abby, whatever you know. Tell them to bring their dragons.
And we've heard Volantis before. What is Volantis?
It's a city.
Wait, which one's Volantis? That's in Game of Thrones.
Yeah, so Volantis is one of the 8 free cities.
Oh, all of a sudden, sorry. He has all kinds of information about it.
I don't remember if we get... I think we get Pentos in Game of... We see Pentos. I think we don't see Volantis, though. Or it's the other way around. I can't really remember.
I think we see Pentos, right?
It's the one... Wherever Tyrion is, where he, like, goes to the brothel, and he, like... Can't have sex. He's like, I can't do it. That's Pentos. I'm pretty sure that's Pento. Maybe that's Volantis. Whatever. We can get into that.
Pentos is in like the first episode. That's where.
That's where Illyrio is. Yes, originally. You're right. So it is, yes. Volantis then.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's so. That's Pentos. Pentos is in the very beginning where Dany's still with their shithead brother.
Yep.
But doesn't Tyrion stay with Illyrio?
In the book.
Okay.
Not in the show.
Not in the show. Okay. Yeah.
So the Valyrians call up, the Volantis calls up the Valyrians at the Freehold, and they're like, hey, bring some more dragons. So the Valyrians, they show up with not 3, but 300 dragons.
What?
Yeah. So they show up, and as you can probably imagine, the Rhoynar do not do so well. The Valyrians come in, and the dragons come in, and their fire breathes so hot that the water steams up. And some people actually boiled alive in the water.
Turtles?
Not the turtles, just the people.
Okay. Where were the turtles?
Turtles were not around. They knew better, and they fucked off.
They were like, yeah, fuck this.
Yeah. There was so much blood that turned the river itself red. And Garen the Great, who was leading this great army, they took him captive and put him in a golden cage to watch the Valyrians massacre every city through the Rhoyne.
Damn.
So, as they're going through and they're massacring all these cities, they come to Garen's home, Croyane, the festival city. And, like the other cities, it gets absolutely massacred. People are enslaved. People are murdered. And he has to watch this entire thing. And as he's watching, he puts a curse on the Valyrians and the city itself. Like, he's just absolutely distraught this happened, that he puts a curse on them. So, that night, the Rhoyne itself flooded. Completely out of season. It was a super forceful flood, and the entire city gets wiped out. And then the next day, after the city floods, a fog comes through. And what does the fog bring?
Dragons?
Grayscale.
Oh.
So the Valyrians get infected with Grayscale, and they flee Croyane.
Wait, you get Grayscale from fog?
So the fog brought in the disease of Grayscale. Okay. So in the show, Valyria is what Croyane is in the book. Does that make sense? No. I think I switched that around. So, you know how Tyrion and
Jorah
are going through Valyria? Yeah. See, that's supposed to be Tyrion going through Croyane in the books.
Okay.
And Croyane is where he gets that run-in with the
stone man. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's why, like, they're going through Croyane and you're seeing how depressing it looks, and they see the stone men there. So ever since then, now Croyane is known as the Sorrows. Still covered in fog, that's where the stone men dwell. There is a rumor of the Shrouded Lord, which is the person who is he's like a mystical being that gives Grayscale out. Some people think that this is Prince Garen himself, giving out the disease. It's kind of cool. Tyrion has a dream. He dreamt of his Lord Father and the Shrouded Lord. He dreamt that they were one and the same, and when his father wrapped stone arms around him and bent to give him his gray kiss, he woke with his mouth dry and rusty, with the taste of blood and his heart hammering in his chest.
Dang.
Say what you will about George R. R. Martin, he can fucking write.
That motherfucker can write, man. That's some good. Yeah. So good.
That's really good shit.
Really good.
Huh.
So, as this is happening, Nymeria knows that this is happening, and she's like, I told you so. So she just fucks off. She's like, there's no way that we're going to have a home here anymore. We're leaving Valyria. So she takes an older route, and she takes 10,000 ships. Now, 10,000 ships is known to be maybe a little excessive, but the reason that it was probably...
That's a ridiculous amount of ships.
Well, so yeah. The reason that it's actually 10,000 is because of the types of boats and ships that they took. So the types of ships that they took were skiffs, pole boats, trading galleys, fishing boats, rafts, and even pleasure barges were taken, were like led out of the runner. So it actually might have been 10,000 ships. It's just that some of these were little dinky boats that they put into the ocean.
And some of them were like sexy boats.
Some of them were sexy boats. Those boats did not last well in the ocean, I will tell you right now. So as this happens, Nymeria is like, I'm going to take these 10,000 ships. We're going to find a new home. And so begins the voyage of Nymeria and her 10,000 ships.
Can we stop for a second? Do we know anything about Nymeria's past? Like, we know that she was kind of like this badass woman who was, like, ready to fight and do all this shit.
We don't. We know is that she was the princess of Nisar, which was just a city on the river. So she was just, like, the ruler of that city.
And the Rhoynar were, like, pretty gender equal.
Oh, yeah. They're so, like, all men and women were equal, yes.
In power.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Like, she was seen as just as equal as Garen the Great. The only reason that people got behind Garen the Great is because he was the one who, like, led the army.
Okay.
So, like, that's why he was kind of seen as, like, the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, he kind of fucked up. Like, he took the dragons. Like,
right.
Which I never understand. Which, okay, so, really, really quick. I never understand in the world of Game of Thrones why anyone thinks to take on dragons the way that they do.
I don't know. Imagine if your home is being threatened. You're going to have some sort of, like, confidence and be like, all right, we have to take care of this shit. We can do this shit.
But
what do you? What's your other option?
Just bow down and be like, yeah.
Bow down and go into slavery?
I mean, look, well, that's the thing. They weren't necessarily going to become slaves. It's just because the turtle got butchered that they even started a war in the first place.
Well, yeah, but they butchered their turtles.
I know, and that's fucked up. But like, you got to think, like, because they got into a war with people, a bunch of them were enslaved, and now they've just lost their entire home.
But they butchered their turtles. Like, yeah, you got to stand up for yourself.
I just, all I'm saying, look, to me, it's like the same we're talking about their nuclear warheads. If someone's telling me, I'm going to fire a nuclear warhead at your house, I'm going to be like, what the fuck do you want?
I think...
What would you say? You would say, go ahead.
Depends on the situation. Like, if they are assholes of people who they enslave people... I would much rather try to fight, and this sounds like I'm being like all blustery, like, ooh, look at me, I'm Jack Bauer, Kiefer Sutherland, but like,
yeah, you are.
No, but I think there is a circumstance where you would just say, all right, fuck it, I'm going to like try to take care of my home.
I guess, man. I don't know. To me, you got to play like, do I risk my people's lives or do I like guarantee their safety?
Well,
and just,
maybe
like,
it matters what the people think
But the people thought they should go to war, and now they're dead in their homes.
Yeah, but the people thought they should go to war, so go to war with them.
I don't know. Well, Nymeria didn't. She peaced.
Yeah, she
and saved
out
a bunch of people.
Yeah, maybe that was the right choice. You leave your home. Maybe that's the correct
choice.
We're about
to find that out.
It's not a black and white thing. Maybe there's a gray area.
Fair enough. Yeah. I will agree. That's fine. Yeah.
We
agree to disagree.
Well, I don't know. Maybe we disagree. Maybe I'm right. I don't know.
You're fucking wrong.
Let's see who's right.
So Nymeria decides to go off with her ships, and within the first, like, the first storm that happens, already 100 ships go, and that's probably a lot of these pole boats and skiffs. Like, immediately.
The sexy boats
get rocking a little too much. Yeah, hopefully someone was using the sexy boat when they went down, at least. You know, they're like, well, if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out sexy.
Is that the noise of the sexy boats?
Yeah. Is that the boat or the sexy happened in the boat?
Sexy.
So they decide to stop. They go south, east. They go southeast to the Basilisk Isles. The Basilisk Isles are just these like little islands like up above the Cytheros, which we'll get into in a second. They have a terrible time there. There's a bunch of pirate kings there.
The Basilisk there?
No, well, yeah, they're named after basilisks actually being on the isles. They don't see any basilisks, though. They are too busy getting destroyed by these pirate kings that are there. The pirate kings come down, they enslave them, they kill a bunch of them, and they're like, you guys can stay here, but you have to give us 30 virgin girls and pretty boys every year's tribute. And Nymeria's like, no, thank
you. And pretty boys? They said that?
And pretty boys.
Wait,
that's a direct thing from the book. And pretty boys.
Wow.
So she says no and leaves.
Rita Martin is...
I know. What, like, I wonder what he constitutes as a pretty boy.
Yeah.
I mean, we're not going to get into that. So, so Nymeria decides to go to actual Cytheros, which is a little more south.
She didn't have enough pretty boys.
She didn't want to give up the pretty boys because they're boys and they should not be suffering that. So anyway, so she goes to this Cytheros and she's like, this is where our new home is. Cytheros is not a good place to have a home.
Why?
Cytheros is covered in a moss? Ton of different creatures.
Why would you assume moss?
I thought he was going to say moss.
What?
His mouth is making like a...
If anything, I was going to say monsters.
Oh.
That's pretty close to moss, though.
Yeah.
All right.
There's probably some moss.
Covered in moss, there'd probably be a nice place.
Look, I got to say, though, there's definitely moss in this jungle.
Oh, okay. Well...
Okay, yeah. I was wrong. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So they like kind of separate a little bit. She stays at the mouth of this river. A couple of them go down the river a little bit, and then some of them go to the ruins of Yin, which are known to be haunted by ghouls and spiders.
Tony, never want ghouls.
Never
want
spiders.
Love ghouls.
What do you love about ghouls?
Like they're like, you know, they're just like their tongues. They're just like they're like, you know.
Are you talking like D&D ghouls? Because ghouls in D&D have like long tongues, don't they?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
I feel like I have the picture in my head from a D&D book.
Like, what's a ghoul even?
What is a ghoul? Is it just a ghost?
No, they're like, they're physical. They're not zombies though either.
Yeah. So, the runner did not last wrong in Cytheros, as I was saying. There were swarms of flies that spread diseases all over, so people were dying of diseases. Carnivorous fish lived in the river that they were living on and living at the mouth on. So people would go into the river and get fucking eaten.
Cool.
And then the towns that they did make kind of like on the coast were getting raided by slavers and pirates again.
Cool.
And then the city of Yin. So a group of Rorinar went down and checked out Yin. And when they got there, the city was completely deserted. Mm. So the people who had gone there just disappeared.
Cool. What happened?
We don't know.
Fish?
Probably the ghouls and spiders.
Ghouls and spiders.
They are now the ghouls, probably.
Oh my god.
Yeah. So, after everybody disappears at Yin, Nymeria's like, I'm not staying here. So she leaves and goes to Noth.
Wow.
3 years of travel, she goes to Noth. They try to go, and they're welcome there. Like, the people who live there are, like, big old hippies. They, like, they're all chill, but they can't go there because of the butterflies. The butterflies on Noth, they actually protect the people of Noth, like, not on purpose. They just, the people who are born on Noth are immune to these butterflies, and any foreigners actually get sick from the butterflies.
Yeah.
Huh. And they die.
Yeah. Cool.
So, everybody's getting a little bit disgruntled, and Priestess Dreselka, she's just a priestess who came with this group, she says that the Mother Ruin was calling people back to the river. Unfortunately, people go with her, and the Valyrians are still there, and they become enslaved or killed. So, that didn't go too well. So, finally, Nymeria is like, I don't really know where else to go. So, she goes north to Dorne.
Which we all know Dorne.
We all know Dorne.
North to Dorne?
Yeah. So, right now, she is very south of Dorne right now, geographically.
She's in Westeros?
She left Essos. And then when she left, so she was right here.
Okay, so she's out in the sea.
She's out in the sea. Yeah, she's south, and she's south of Dorne right now.
Gotcha.
She goes north and goes to Dorne, because she pretty much has nowhere else she can go. She can't go to Essos because the Valyrians are there. Everywhere else she's been to has massacred her people in some way, shape, or form. So she's like, I'm just going to go to Westeros. Where else am I going to go? So she lands in Dorne at the mouth of the Greenblood, which the Greenblood is just a river that opens up into the ocean through Dorne. Dorne is the most southern kingdom of Westeros, and at the time, there were a lot of kings fighting over this land, one of them being the Martells. Originally, when the Rhoynar get there, they are so unwelcome. They're like, you guys have women that are equal to men?
Ew.
We can't do that. That's weird as fuck.
Ew.
You know, and they're showing up with, like, mainly women and boys who have become men. So it's like, I think it was like every, out of 10 of them, 8 of them were women.
Boys who have
boys
become
men.
Is that what I said?
Just boys, just, yeah.
Look, that wonderful whiskey Jameson has gotten me pretty good, okay? So the boys...
The boys to men.
The boys to men. Yeah, right.
The so boys to boys. Men and these women have showed up in Dorne. A lot of them are saying no.
So is this why, of all the kingdoms, like, in the future, Dorne women are, like...
Are equal?
Equal?
Yes.
And that's okay, that's because Nymeria is going to have influence. The Rohirrim are going to have influence on...
Oh, yeah. She,
are they going to, like, mix and breed with the Martells? Am I getting, like, way ahead of
We're
myself?
We're going to talk about that right now. Yeah. Gotcha. So they're so unwelcome, but there is one person, Mors Martell, who is, like, kind of digging what they're doing. He's one of the people that's kind of fighting over Dorne. Right now, he's the current lord of Sandship, which eventually becomes Sunspear. And he sees an opportunity in Dorne, particularly Nymeria. Wink, wink.
Wink, oh, wink.
Nice. Wink,
wink. He is, like, so into... He's, like...
Well, I mean, a...
She is so cool.
Yeah.
I mean, she just traveled all over the sea and has landed in Dorne number one. And on top of that, she's a warrior princess.
Right.
So
and
he's
she's
into
leading
it.
All these people. Like,
exactly. So yeah. Not only does he see, he's like, you have all these people that I could use in this like crazy war for Dorne, and you're also like the coolest girl I've ever met. So they eventually get married and they bring their the Martells bring their family together with the Rhoynar.
Do you think they had sex?
They have three children, so yes.
Doesn't mean they had sex.
They had sex on the sexy boats that they brought from the Rhoynar. No, they didn't. I just made that up.
What?
What?
Okay, you guys suck.
Where they didn't have kids?
All right, this episode has been super fun. They did have kids. Yes, they had kids.
Wait,
so,
but you just said you were making it up.
No, I made up that they had sex on a sexy boat.
Oh.
Yeah, Marty, God.
Get it together.
Where they had sex together?
Probably a bed.
Where?
Indoors.
Indoors?
Indorn.
Oh,
it probably was indoors, though. Unless...
Actually, it might have been outdoors.
Might have been outdoors.
You don't know.
I guess we'll never know. I'm surprised George R. Martin didn't tell us about this.
So when they join their families together, what's gone on with the Rhoynar at the time is that, like I said, 8 of 10 of them were women, but they've become hardened and like battle worn from their journey. And on top of that, shut up, Marty.
What did I say? I didn't say anything.
God damn it! They have become battle worn. God damn it! And the boys to men, the boys to men have also become like warriors themselves. They have grown up and now they are also able to fight. So they're bringing like actually like a pretty decent like army to Dorne to help out with this kingdom that they're trying to take
Such
over.
Such a pretty army.
God damn it. Oh, shit. There's like nothing I can do about that. It's already happened. So they have decided to wed. They've come together. Nymeria has married some of her people off to some of Mors Martell people. So they're like intersecting a lot and they're like, we're going to take Dorne now. Like that is the main goal. Before they decide to take Dorne, Nymeria decides to burn the entire fleet that she came with. Our wanderings are at an end. We have found a new home and here we shall live and die. So like she burns the fleet as a symbol of just like, we made it. We finally found where we are. We don't need to like be traveling anymore. And she lights this massive fire on the river that pretty much all of Dorne can see, rumored, is what they say.
That does seem like a really cool symbolic thing to do.
Right?
Like that situation seems amazing.
Yeah.
At the same time, I would be pissed if I was a Dornish person who probably wanted a fleet.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh man, what are you doing?
I think that because at the time they were only focused on the actual kingdom of
Dorne.
Yeah, like if they were like all of Westeros,
right.
Yeah, I'd be pretty pissed
right.
off. But because it was just Dorne, I don't think it
Which,
was too bad.
You know, badass thing to do. She's making a statement now.
For sure. She's trying to tell her people that they made it.
Yep.
Like, you know.
They have a home now.
But it's funny that you say that some people are a little pissed off because some of the people that she brought are actually a little bummed out because they're like, you know, those ships were their home for a while. And there ends up being like a bunch of rubble there. And the people who kind of like are upset about it, they bring the rubble up and they make a small town on the river. And they call it it's like a faux Mother Rhoyne, So, and it becomes, the people who live there these days are called the Orphans of the Green Blood.
Oh.
Because they kind of, like, they were upset that they, like, they don't have the ruin anymore, and, like, the river's kind of their thing, so they're like, I still want to live on the river.
Wait,
so
do we see that in Game of...
They talk about it, a little bit, yeah. They don't get super deep into it, but they do talk about it, which is kind of cool. They were just like, I still want to be on the river.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So that kind of means, like, it's weird to me that George R. R. Martin had, like, this entire story in his head while he was writing the Song of Ice and Fire series.
Yeah.
Like, that is a whole nother story to have already.
That's what I'm saying.
Just
it's
for
so
this
crazy.
Small, like, hint
yeah.
in the book,
yeah.
which is really cool.
And that's, like, but you see that all over.
Yeah.
Like, that's the crazy, like, that's my favorite part about this book, The World of Ice and Fire, is because it's just all the little, like, history stories that make up all the stuff that you kind of hear snippets of
the
in the
hints that you get.
And it's so cool. I love that book so much. It's very good. So we're finally at the conquering of Dorne. Mors Martell and Nymeria, they're like, we're doing it. And they're doing it. They're doing it in bed. They're doing it in war. They're doing it probably outdoors. They're doing all the things.
Indoors.
Indoors, outdoors, on
sexy
the pole boats,
indoor.
Sexy boats, all over the place. They're probably having fun with it, too. You know Mors is. Anyways. So, we have two... So
what does Nymeria look like?
There's a picture of her in the book.
Yeah.
Can you describe her to me?
She looks very much like your standard Rhoynar. So, black hair.
Olive skin.
Slender.
Much like me and you and Sam.
And not
Chad.
Chad,
you not have olive skin.
Yeah, shut up.
Me and
for
Sam
Sutherland.
Have olive skin. I didn't know I was counted amongst the olive...
I would say so.
My dad has olive skin.
Yeah.
So.
You have similar skin to your dad.
A little bit whiter than him, but.
You have your dad's skin. Yeah.
His skin is my skin. I am his skin.
You are his skin.
Shit. Anyway.
Anyways.
So.
So, Dorne. So, Mors and Martell. Mors. Oh my god. Sorry, I'm drunk. Mors Martell and Nymeria. They have decided that they're going to conquer Dorne. And as they go through this war, they get allies. And then on the other side, they have their biggest rival, Yorick Ironwood. He has a very long title. The Blood Royal, fifth of his name, Lord of the Ironwood, Warden of the Stoneway, Knight of the Wells, King of the Red March, King of the Greenbelt, and King of the Dornish.
Whew, that shit bores me like halfway through.
Boo. Right.
Just pick a last
and
name.
Honestly, they're not that fun. Like Daenerys at least has like Breaker of Chains, Mother of Dragons, Queen of this. Like, it's
like cool like, shit, but also end it after two.
Give it a
I'm
rest.
I'm bored.
Yeah.
Nymeria's 10,000 Guests is the cruise experience of a lifetime. See the haunted ruins of Yeen, the poisonous butterflies of Noth, and the depressing fog of the Sorrows. What are you waiting for?
So before we wrap this up, let's do another shot of this beautiful whiskey of Jameson.
All right, let's do it.
Let's do it. Cheers.
Oh,
cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers. Absolutely beautiful.
It's incredible.
I mean, well done, Ireland.
Is it made by angels?
Irish angels.
So, back to our story. We've got Mors Martell and
Nymeria.
And their side.
Out their side.
And then we have Yorick Ironwood and his side.
His side.
AKA all of those names that he has before. Within the third battle of this war, Mors Martell is killed
is it
by Yorick.
Mors or Mors?
Mors Martell.
Mors.
M-O-R-S, Mors.
Oh, yeah.
But in the third battle, he is killed by Yorick Ironwood. So Mors Martell, a.k.a. Super in Nymeria Martell,
Mors.
Gets killed.
Mors.
So this is going to sound like I'm not paying attention.
It's fine.
The third battle of what?
Dorn. Of just the of just
oh
of
the
just
Dornish
the,
War
of
like,
yeah.
Dorn.
Like you could call
okay,
it.
Okay, I didn't know.
It doesn't really have a name. This is so at this the time in Westeros right now, all the kingdoms are being fought over by little petty kingdoms.
Okay.
So like Dorn, there's not a name of the war.
So
it's
Westeros
just a battle
is foreign.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you look at it, like the Stormlands are being foreign. You okay, Marty?
Yeah, I yawn.
So like all of them are being fought over. The North. The Stormlands, all of them. So, Nymeria decides to take command of the entire army as soon as Mors dies. So when she goes in there, she fucking goes and wins. Nymeria comes in, she takes over the army, and by the end of the war, Yorick Ironwood bends the knee to the warrior queen, Nymeria.
Hell yeah.
And after that, Nymeria is then crowned as the Princess of Dorne, because that's how they do it in the Rhoyne. So they're like taking over some culture there. And she rules from Sunspear, formerly known as Sandship.
Did she name it Sunspear?
Yeah, she changes the name to Sunspear, which I don't know why.
Fish people had spears and shields, or shields.
I think that it's a mix of... That's probably right. Well, I think that it's a mix of... So the sigil for the Martells is a spear through a sun. And I think that this is not confirmed, but I think that the sun was originally the Martell sigil, and then Nymeria added the spear to it to say...
See, that's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
If that is correct...
I feel like it's gotta be, right?
Yeah, you're
sounds
right.
Sounds
right.
Let's just say you're right. Yeah.
Yeah. For the purposes of this episode, it's correct. So she rules from Sunspear for she rules there for 27 years. I don't want to. So 27 years she rules there. She survives multiple assassinations attempts. She puts down two rebellions and then two invasions from the Storm King and from King Graydon of the Reach. So she's like, I mean, she does really well, which is no surprise at all, because Nymeria, as we've seen, is an absolute badass.
I mean, she's made it this far. She's going to be okay.
She's doing pretty well. I mean, the fact that she made it across the sea and also escaped Dragon Lords of Valyria.
Going across the sea, I've always thought, like, I've had, like, a dream of being, like, a person who lives on a boat and, like, travels the seas and shit, but you do know how scary that shit would be?
It's fucking terrifying.
In the middle of the ocean.
You know how big the sea is?
With a storm?
Yeah. No fucking way.
Fuck that. I would be a little baby crying in the hole.
Yeah. I always think about, like, people always talk about, like, going to space and... talking about how space is unknown. I think the ocean is scarier than space.
Oh, I think I would go to space.
Yeah.
Before I would take a trip to the middle.
Because
the ocean
is still very undiscovered.
Yeah.
And the fact that it's on Earth scares the fuck out of me way more.
We don't know shit about that. And God damn it, if your ship sinks, if you go
overboard,
you're fucked.
No one's finding you.
No one's going to find you.
You're dead.
It's like you're the rum Hammond and it's always sunny. You just float.
Exactly.
No one knows.
Like, they always have those movies where, like, people find these islands and they, like, end up somewhere. I'm like, that doesn't happen.
No, you just
die. Have you ever seen Open Water? With the shark movie?
Yeah, I watched that with my grandma.
Jesus.
Oh, man.
You're your grandma?
Yeah.
Damn.
Grandma Tootie.
Grandma Tootie?
Yeah,
she's
a wonderful person. We were a little iffy. I mean, you know.
I really liked it. I thought it was a pretty intense movie. But honestly, when I watched that movie, I think I was like 13, 14.
So. Right.
Yeah.
Grandma Tootie's dead at this point.
Oh.
Rip in peace, Grandma Tootie.
She sounds like a wonderful lady.
She was a wonderful lady.
Yeah. Grandma Tootie.
Grandma
Anyways,
Tootie.
So, of course, eventually, Nymeria does die. But when she does die, her eldest daughter succeeds the throne instead of her son, as is Rhoynish tradition. So, officially, like, her ruling Dorne already seems like the Rhoynish culture's taken over, but this is, like, the solidifying fact that, like, her daughter is taking over, not her son, because she's the eldest.
Oh.
And that stays going for all of Dorne's existence. Right now, we do have Dorne Martell ruling, but that's because he is the oldest child.
Right.
Arianne in the books is always a little bit pissed off because she thinks that Quentin's going to take over, but that's not the case. There's so much shit going on in Dorne.
Right, that's a whole episode. That's a really cool dichotomy between the Targaryens, who can't fucking figure out what their idea of who should succeed should be.
Yep.
And Dorne.
Yeah.
They know
the whole
that
Dance of Dragons
should just happen. So, like, that all oddly stems from, like, Valyria. And the Rhoynar.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
It's very cool. And I also like the whole, like, a lot of people thinking Daenerys kind of making the same voyage of 10,000 ships for, like, two... I think that that's interesting when her ancestors were the ones that, like, killed the Dornish.
Yeah.
And now she's kind of, like, the one being that at the same time. Like, I feel like that's really cool as well. But that is the story of Nymeria. The Valyrians, the Rhoynar, Nymeria and her 10,000 ships.
That's a good ass story.
I think it might be my favorite one of.
It brings a lot of history to Dorne.
Yeah.
Which is really fun to think about because Dorne, in the books, is so intriguing. Like I love the Dornish chapters.
The show just totally does.
And the show is fuck all. It's so
disappointing too because that's the thing. Dorne in the book is a major player in the book. Yeah. And in history, Dorne is the only place that never actually succumbs to Targaryen rule.
Yeah.
They never surrender. The only time they actually come into the fold of the Seven Kingdoms is by marriage. So they are never forced to. They are the ones to actually be, like, they decide to be a part of the Seven Kingdoms.
Well, and now they're seeking to do that by marriage again with Quentin, which he fails miserably, but...
Yeah, it
has a cool history behind it.
It's so cool. And it really does bug me that the show fucked it up so bad.
It started off on a good track because Oberon on the show is amazing.
Yeah. So, oh my god. Pedro
Pascal's Oberon is so good.
He's probably the best one season character they have.
And then, they just.
And that's putting Ned in that box as well. So. And
they treat him pretty well. They do him justice with everything.
Man, dude.
But I'm saying they started good. And then after he died, they just didn't really carry on the story very story much at all. Story is
so fucking bad after
it's
that.
It's so bad. And what's weird is that the actor actually came out and said that he was signed on for way more episodes than he was originally. Like, so the season that he dies, which I think is season...
Four.
No, I think it's season six.
No, he has season four.
Wait, over?
Oh, no. Oh, I'm talking about Doran. Sorry.
Sorry.
I'm talking about Doran. Gotcha. So Oberyn, he was done after season four. Which, that fight with the mountain, oh my god.
Yeah. Like, him that shit hit it on the... Like, that was good.
And he... Like, the way that I read the book, like, when I read the book and then I watched that, I was like, holy shit.
Yeah, he was cocky as hell. Like,
I mean, him just yelling, like, "You raped her! You murdered her! You killed her children!" I was like, whoa, this is so good.
Yeah.
But... Sorry, going back to Doran Martell. Sorry, I thought that was what we were talking about.
No.
But he originally, because he dies in season
four. Doran?
Doran, yeah. He's season six. I don't know.
Who even kills Doran?
So Doran gets introduced in season five.
The show thought we were going to, like, love the Sand Snakes so much. They just fixated on them, and they sucked.
Yeah. They just didn't. They didn't build them up well, like other characters.
I think that would be.
And in the books, they weren't built up that much in the books either. They were just there.
No,
but they had like in the books, they at least had like there was at least like more substance. Like when you meet Obara in the books, she's like giving shit to Doran about Oberyn.
Right.
So like Obara is the one that's like, you should be doing something right now. Like, what the fuck's going on? Like, you're getting actual real character stuff for Obara. And but then in the show, it's what the fuck is her name? Ilaria? Is it Ilaria?
Well, the show's missing the main character. There's the main female character in the books.
Arianne's
not even in the show.
No, they combine a bunch of characters together. Yeah. And Ilaria, who in the books, she's just a mom in the books. In the books, she's just brokenhearted that Oberyn has died. But in the show, she's the main Dorne person.
Yeah.
Right, which wasn't as good.
It also didn't make sense. She wasn't a Martell. She was just a paramour of... Oberyn.
Yeah.
But it's annoying because in the books, Doran, like, he obviously has a master plan. There's definitely something going on. Mm-hmm. And the actor himself said that when he was signed on for season six, his actual contract had him lined up for, like, I think, like, three or four episodes. And then they changed the writing, and he still got paid for all the episodes, but then he's only in the first episode where he gets stabbed by Ilaria.
Yeah.
See, I feel like they fucked up because... They tried to bring, like, the strong women in with the Sand Snakes.
Yeah.
But Illyria.
Yeah.
She's, like, a very strong woman in this.
Yeah.
And why would you not...
You mean Arianne?
Arianne.
Yeah.
Why would you not grab onto that? Like, she is doing all this good shit.
Yeah.
But they went with the Sand Snakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Dorne just became a side story.
It was what it was.
Yeah, they just
they fucked it up. They didn't know what to do with it. And they're just like, okay. Because you can tell because by season seven, they just fucking kill him off within the first, like, two or three episodes.
Yeah.
Like, they're just done. And, like, that's
you
all
never
of
hear
Dorne.
From him again. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But, yeah. I don't know. Hopefully we'll get Winds of Winter.
Pretty soon.
Yeah.
We got into the shows and book stuff, which...
I know.
It was going to happen. It's talking about Dorne.
Well,
we were going
to
get into it.
Yeah, it's supposed to happen. That's the shit that we want.
I know. I can't wait for the book.
George R. R. Martin.
Yeah.
If you listen to this.
Write the fucking book.
Come on. Just do it.
Please. Just please. Please. I didn't mean to be angry. I'm sorry. Just write it. I just want to read your books.
Like, you're good. Just do it. Okay, we can stop begging him now. Yeah.
But for those of you who are listening to the episode, thank you so much. I don't know why I said that, because they're obviously listening to the episode.
Yeah. Those of you who are still listening.
Yeah, those of you who are still listening, thank you so much for listening to the episode.
And this episode was... Well, go ahead.
No, go ahead. What were you going
to
say?
It was brought to you by Bill's Toast.
Dude, I was going to bring up Bill's Toast.
I've been
toast.
Staring at your it's shirt Bill's. All day.
I was staring
day.
At a shirt,
no, it's
too.
Bill's Toasty.
What is that?
It's a restaurant in... Oh my god, I'm blanking on the name of the town.
Pittsburgh?
No, it's in Illinois, and Jade's gonna listen to this episode and kill me.
Mount Sterling.
No, it's where her the other side of her family's from. Shit.
Springfield.
No.
Peoria?
No.
Peoria.
No.
Quincy.
Pekin.
No, stop saying names. It's not you're not gonna say it.
White City.
I live around there.
No, I can't
farm,
remember. Name.
Farm City.
Is it around?
Taylorville.
Oh, Taylorville.
Taylorville.
Yeah, I don't know how I
right forgot. Next to Farm City.
Yeah, there's a so this is a burger place in Taylorville. They're open 24/7.
It's a burger?
Yeah.
It's like an egg McMuffin.
It's a toasty.
But they do really good, like, cheese balls and burgers and shit, and I love... And every time I go to Taylorville, I want to go there and eat there. And Jade's mom got me this for, I think, Christmas one year.
All right, well, this episode is brought to you by Bill's
Toasty.
Toasty.
Hopefully they are okay with that.
Call them at 824-4022.
Get Bill's Toasty.
Bill's Toasty.
Please call them.
Please call them.
Well, go to Taylorville first and then call them. Don't just call them.
Yeah, don't just call them. Don't be a dick.
But, yeah, thank you again for listening to the episode. If you have any feedback at all, comment and like rip us to shreds if you want.
Yeah,
to.
Email us at
rip them to shreds. I am very fragile.
What's our email address?
Well, check us out on Instagram. I think it's Liquor and Lore, something. And then Twitter, our Twitter page, Liquor and Lore, something.
Mm-hmm. Our
and
Twitter is Donald J. Trump.
Don't do that.
I'm sorry.
If you God damn it. If you want, if you actually want to email us, our email is liquor, the letter N, lore at gmail.com.
You have an email address?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Okay. Email us there, please.
Yeah, email us there. Comment
questions,
on the podcast.
Comments, feedback.
Leave some reviews, talk shit.
Hey, requests?
Requests would be perfect. But like I said, thank you for listening. Thank you for like just letting us be a part of your day.
And quite frankly, if you find Jameson anywhere,
drink
let us
it.
Know where.
Buy as many bottles as you can.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So to close out the episode, let's take a shot.
All right.
Let's do it.
Cool.
Oh my god.
Good
feel,
god.
At this point, I feel like everyone shut off the episode because we just rambled about Bill's Toasty and...
I don't think they would shut that off. Are you going to close that before pouring?
It's just a ritual.
Give him a splash.
It's a splash.
Oh, it's just a
ooh,
splash.
Thank you.
Splash.
Just a splash.
Thank you so much.
Hey.
Everybody just heard you ask for a splash.
Guys, we love you. We love
cheers.
Them.
We love Namirian or 10,000 chips. Congratulations, Biden. Frank Kamala. Oh, this is like Liquor and Lore. Have a good day.
Love you.